Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And good Saturday afternoon. Thanks for tuning in to Catch My Drift here at Wham Talk 1600. Lots to do today, lots to talk about. And Matt, great show. You and I think alike, obviously, because there's a couple of things on climate change that it does. It drives me crazy, Matt, when I listen to that stuff. Holy Toledo. Just, Yeah, exactly. So we'll get into that a little bit later. But we've got a lot to cover today. Let's take care of our business first. Sponsor this half hour is the Rock Shop on Godfredson Road, 734-455-5560. Now, with it getting cooler, is the time to get out and do your front yards, your backyards, your patio areas, and you'll need landscape supplies to do that. So go to the Rock Shop on Godfredson Road, just off of M14, 734-455-5560. Now, Marco and Elena Scappaticci will have their people instruct you and teach you how to install everything they sell for free. So that's really awesome. It's a good thing that you don't get at most landscape supply companies. You can go to their website, www.rock-shop. That's shoppe.com, 734-455-5560. Now, what we do every Saturday on The Drift is go over the news we put on The Daily Drift. And if you're not going there, you should, www.thedailydrift.com. It's the news you need to know. And I peruse the internet and get those stories that you're not getting. And I've got readers actually sending me some links. So thanks to all those readers for sending that stuff to me. I put the little contributions up there for them when they do, so that's awesome. So make sure you're going to The Daily Drift and getting that information. And if you don't get enough of The Drift radio show on Saturdays, you can catch my podcasts weekday mornings for 15, 20 minutes at thedailydrift.com, too. It's on Mixler, so check that out if you want to. And the podcasts are there. I've got 65, I think, in the can now, so go ahead and check them out. Pretty good. I can rant a little bit FCC-free during the weekdays, which is kind of cool, so... Let's start with something local. Forfeiture laws, big problem across the nation. This was originally intended to take the proceeds from drug dealers and criminals and use them for the government and the public. Well, it's kind of gotten out of hand over the last few years. And finally, here in Michigan, on Wednesday, the Michigan State Senate passed a bill that the lower house had taken care of. It's a seven-bill package. And requires more transparency. First, they require a higher legal standard of clear and convincing evidence that property proceeds represent they came from criminal acts before they can be taken. And second, government entities across the state would have to submit annual reports to the Michigan State Police on property seizures. And there's a reason it's getting a little out of hand, because right here locally, Plymouth Township went under a federal audit. Now, they're not saying a whole lot about what was discovered and why all of a sudden they came in, but Plymouth Township used forfeited property for non-law enforcement expenses. The U.S. Department of Justice found improprieties in the way Plymouth Township was accounting for the forfeited cash. They received $1.9 million from the program between January of 2010 and 2014. Township Police Chief is responsible for filing accounting reports to the DOJ, but he told auditors he was not allowed to receive copies of the bank statements associated with the program. Does that sound odd to you? The audit found that the township treasurer and governing body had much of that control and responsibility, which is contrary to the program's rules. Thousands of dollars were being used for non-law enforcement expenses, such as $1,500 for floor mats, $3,200 for conference room chairs, and $29,000 for civilian salaries, not uniformed officers. And that's all wrong. You can't be doing that. If you're going to – I'm all up for taking – property from drug dealers and organized crime and everything else. But, you know, how about getting a conviction? You know, whatever happened to being found guilty by your judge and a jury before you have your stuff just taken away? It's kind of brutal. I just wanted to touch on that. So call your state senators and your state reps and thank them for that, and tell them to go a little farther, because there are some abuses going on across the country when it comes to forfeiture. So let's leave that one and move on, because there's a lot I want to call want to get to today. And you can call in 734-822-1600. Love to have you call in. McCarthy is out. That was the big news this week. Kind of stunning to a lot of people. I think most of us had already given up hope that we were going to get a conservative Speaker of the House after Boehner. And all of a sudden, Kevin McCarthy just dropped out. Stunning everybody, because he was allegedly the front runner for that. Jason Chaffetz is also in the running. Daniel Webster and a few others. I think there's like seven on the list. But it'll be interesting to see what happens, because now the front leader seems to be Paul Ryan. Now, I would have, 4 years ago, been happy with Paul Ryan, because you know what? I supported Romney Ryan ticket back in the day. But lately, Paul Ryan does not seem to be anything but a typical rhino. Honestly, he's like Boehner. They're not stepping up to the plate and doing what they need to do. TPP, which we'll get into later, Paul Ryan supports the TPP. Now, a lot of Republicans are saying, oh, it's free trade, it's great, we got to get into the TPA was passed, which gave Obama authorization, and now the TPP is allegedly put together with 11 nations from the Pacific Rim. Here's the problem. We're supposed to have 90 days for the public to see this. It's supposed to be online. Our congressmen are supposed to look at it. We're supposed to be able to look at it. It's supposed to be vetted by the media. Will it? I don't know. But we've even had our own congressman on, and I support Tim Walberg pretty much on 98% of the issues. Not sure I support him on this one, because you know what? There was allegedly something in this TPP about retraining money for American workers, which seems kind of stupid to me right off the get-go. If we're losing jobs, isn't it a bad deal? I mean, ask yourself. If we're setting money aside to retrain the workers who've lost jobs because of the trade deal that we just announced, what are we doing? What are we doing to ourselves? Doesn't make a lick of sense for me to even think about that. But Paul Ryan is one of those guys, and I on Twitter, I'm calling it No Rhino Ryan is what I and hashtag that out there. No Rhino Ryan. I don't want Paul Ryan. I'd rather have a Jason Chat. I'd like to have a Trey Gowdy. That's who I really want, Trey Gowdy, but he doesn't want to step away from Benghazi hearings, and I'm not sure if that's the right thing for him to do or not. It would be nice to have a Trey Gowdy, a guy of his caliber, in the speaker's position, but I don't think we're going to get that. But the question is, why did McCarthy jump out? Is it because he didn't think he had enough votes? You know, he kind of said in his announcement that I don't want to start the division, I want to get through, but all over the internet are the allegations. And the allegations are that he had an affair with somebody. And it's an allegation. I don't know that it's true. But one of the things that's caused this information to come out is a Twitter and a Wikipedia account. And Wikipedia of the woman, Renee Elmer's Wikipedia page, was allegedly changed to allege an affair with Congressman Kevin McCarthy. Here's the odd thing. And you put your conspiracy hats on, folks. This Wikipedia change came from a Department of Homeland Security IP address. So ask yourself, who in the Department of Homeland Security decided to go in and change a Wikipedia page pointing a finger of adultery at the alleged Speaker of the House to be? Is that something that shakes back to Jason Chaffetz last week having some bad information leaked by the Secret Service? What the heck is going on in Washington, D.C. that our government is using information like that to it's House of Cards. It doesn't get any worse than that, really? I know we all know Hillary Clinton watches House of Cards. I mean, her life is basically, I think her life is the basis for House of Cards, her and her husband, but doesn't that strike you as odd that a Department of Homeland Security IP address was used to further that allegation of an adulterous affair for Kevin McCarthy? And is that one of the reasons he wanted to get out? He didn't want to deal with that, with his family and everything else? I don't know. I'm not saying it happened. I'm saying the real travesty here is the fact that somebody within the government would do that. And that's pretty disturbing. So 734-822-1600. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to get into a little bit about the EPA. See you on the other side.
I'm a mom. And just like millions of other women, that's why I own guns. We're responsible, we're law-abiding, and we're everything that makes America strong. Every day, we're willing to use a firearm to defend our families. But the media will never tell those stories. If a mom puts a gun to the face of a home-invading thug and makes him run for his life, the story gets buried. But if she's unarmed and murdered, the cameras will be at the scene before the police. It's time for moms like me to speak out. We are the majority. We demand the freedom to defend our families. And we challenge the media to tell the truth about our rights. I'm the National Rifle Association of America, and I'm freedom's safest place.
To succeed in today's business environment, your business needs to be seen by as many customers as possible. The Current newspaper serves Washtenaw, Oakland, and Livingston counties. Advertising in The Current is the best way to get your money's worth out of your print media budget. The Current has grown 600% since 2007 because The Current has a unique venue for local content, common sense, and your business message. Getting your business message into thousands of homes utilizing The Current newspaper for mere pennies a piece is the best way to do that. And your ad is also seen online for free. Call Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current, at 734-629-6010. That's 734-629-6010. Or go to currentonline.com. That's CourantOnline.com. Grow your business in print and online with The Current newspaper.
There's a natural way to heal your body so that you can live an improved quality of life. If you have teeth, you need a dentist. And if you have a spine, you need a chiropractor. Hi, I'm Dr. Teresa Williams of Integrity Chiropractic. Chiropractic care is more than just making pain disappear. It's about balancing your body to help you live life to the fullest. I will tailor a specific plan to fit your individual needs. Heal a multitude of symptoms from pain, stress, and moodiness, and live your life in high definition with increased energy levels, sharpness of mind, and whole body health. Get your life back. Gain nutritional knowledge that will cleanse, rebalance, and revitalize your body and mind. Integrity Chiropractic also offers membership plans for prolonged chiropractic care. Call 734-829-8733 today and schedule an appointment. That's 734-829-8733. Or visit me online at joindrteresa.com.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to Catch My Drift here on Wham! Talk 1600. Another great Saturday. It's beautiful outside. I almost didn't want to come in today, but I couldn't dare bring the thought of doing a repeat, could I, Derek?
Yeah.
We don't like doing repeats. If you want to call in, 734-822-1600, or if you want to email me, gary@thedailydrift.com, you can email me your comments, and I can read them on the air if you're too shy to call in. But I want to talk about the EPA and the Clean Water Rules. Now, this was kind of bigger information and news this summer, but the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit Court issued a stay of the Environmental Protection Agency's new clean water rule nationwide on Friday, stopping the regulation in its track. A 2-1 decision by the Cincinnati-based court will keep the EPA and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers from implementing the new rule, which while the court determines if it has actual jurisdiction to use this as a federal power. EPA says the rule would protect streams and wetlands that impact water quality. The states argue it gives unprecedented authority to the federal government, and it would control drainage ditches and nearly anything else that contains water. Now, if you own some property and you've got drainage or swampland or anything else, now you already know you have some really rugged rules to follow. Here in Michigan, the EPA And the DNR rules are pretty stringent. You got to have X number of feet away from any of your swamps. And now they consider, you know, even those seasonal little puddles that have water in the spring and they dry up the rest of the summer, if they get certain plant life in them, they call them water now. Call them bodies of water, which is just nonsense. So it's nice to see that the Court of Appeals actually blocked it because 22 states had already filed, and that included the state of Michigan. They're calling some of these ditches and streams navigable waters. And this is the way they're trying to, this is all part of that Agenda 21, or now they call it Agenda 30, whatever. They want to control your land. This is more and more government overreach. So it's good to see that this Court of Appeals, anyways, upheld it. And this is one that's going to end up at the Supreme Court again. And unfortunately, I don't have a lot of faith that SCOTUS, would handle this in an appropriate manner. They're going to probably give more power to the state or to the federal government over your streams and ditches. This is bad for farmers. Really, really hurts the farmers because they can't do a lot of the things that they wanted to do. Let's move on to some good news in my book. Donald Trump went to Vegas this week. Now, I'm going to be in Vegas in a couple of weeks and should be a good time, but I'm going for work. And Donald went there and did a well-received speech. Derek, do you have track one ready? Now, this is Donald Trump speaking, and he's getting, you know, people keep saying he doesn't like Hispanics and blah, blah, blah. He's getting a little more Hispanic sport than you would expect. And let's listen to this.
I love the people. I didn't love the picture. I don't know. They did something with my nose. They played around. It's true. I don't understand. I loved People magazine. I love the people of People magazine. The story was nice, but I didn't like what they did. They screwed around with, I said, just leave me alone. But Melania looked good. Barron looked good. I look like hell. I have a feeling maybe they picked the picture. They might have picked it. I don't know. But I've been on, there it is. Come here. Let me have that. Come here. And is this a setup? Did I ever meet you before? Huh?
I'm Hispanic and I vote for Mr. Trump. We vote for Mr. Trump! Yes! Mr. Trump! We love you! We love you! All the way to the White House!
I swear to you, I think she's totally beautiful and great. I never met her before, I swear. This all started with a People magazine.
Okay, so there you go, Donald Trump, and he's hitting all the front pages of all the magazines, and of course, in his brash style, gloats a little bit about it. Why wouldn't he? It's free publicity. It's his campaign in full swing, and it's one of the reasons he's on top, you know, because he can speak and get people excited, and here was an immigrant Hispanic woman from Colombia who supports Donald Trump. And you can see by the population that's out there that he's getting way more support than you would expect from the Hispanic population. So it was good to see that. I'd seen it earlier in the week, and I wanted to make sure that you also know what's going on with that. Let's talk a little bit about gun control. Ben Carson got criticized quite a bit this week because he said something, and I talked about it a lot on the morning rant this week too. Ben Carson said, you know what? People who end up in a situation need to learn to fight back and not stand there. And people took that as literal criticism of the people who died. And that's not what Ben Carson was saying. Ben Carson is saying, you know what? You are now your own first responders. And I want people to think about this, because if you ever find yourself in that kind of a situation, hostage taking on airplanes, should it ever happen again, the terrorist is not going to have a chance, because everybody on board a plane now knows you're not going to Havana. You're not going to be held hostage. You're going to be driven into a building. And that's a mindset that has changed and forever made airline flying a little bit safer, because anybody who acts up, and you've seen it happen, a few people have acted up, gotten drunk, done stupid things on a plane, and they've been tackled and beaten up by people on the plane, which is the right thing to do. And so that mentality now has to bring itself into the public setting here on the ground. if you are in a school or if you are in a mall or if you in some place and somebody walks in with a gun and they're not flashing a badge, they're not a person of authority, a security guard or a police officer or somebody from the federal government, and they've got a gun, you should be thinking, how quickly can you take him out? Because you know what? If you sit and you wait, they're going to probably kill you. And this is a mindset that each and every one of us now has to flip in your mind. Flip that switch. If you're not a CPL holder, always be aware of your surroundings. What can you hide behind? What can you grab? What can you throw? I mean, we laughed a few years ago. It wasn't a few years ago. I think it was after Sandy Hook. They were talking, the liberals were talking about putting canned goods in the classroom so that children had something to throw at. And if, well, you know what? Not so funny. I'd hate to be on the wrong end of 33 third graders throwing canned goods at me. You know what I mean? This is a mindset each and every one of us has to take. And Ben Carson is hitting it on the head. And, of course, the liberal media is trying to vilify him for saying this. You are your own first responder, because you know what? You're never going to have a cop closer than 4 or 5 minutes away from you, unless you're standing next to one. You are the first responder when any of these things happen. Let's take a call from Jenny. Jenny, welcome to the show.
Hey, Gary. I just wanted to make a real quick comment.
Yeah, go ahead.
About the EPA. They're so hypocritical. They care about this stupid stuff they shouldn't even care about, but they don't care how they handled stuff out in Colorado, did they?
No. Isn't that abusive? Who are they to say anything about taking care of water when they go ahead and dump an entire mine full of toxic chemicals into a river that feeds the southwest of the United States?
There you go. That's my comment.
Yeah, well, it's a good one, Jenny. That's a
okay.
good one. Yeah, thanks for calling in. Okay, yeah, I mean, the EPA is nowhere near being able, this should be left at the state level. It really should. Your environmental regulations, because each state is different. What happens in the Rockies out west is way different than what happens here in the Great Lakes. And I don't believe that anybody at the Washington, D.C. or federal level knows more about our state and our water resources than our own Michigan DNR right here in the state of Michigan. And it should be the same for every other part of the country. Everybody, the deserts have a different set of values and a different set of circumstances than we do here in the Great Lakes area. Put that down to the state level. Why do we even need the EPA when it comes to that? It's just mind-boggling that they want to put their little mitts into everything and now control ditches? That's crazy. The next track we want to move to is, we're going to stay with the gun issue here for a minute. The Democrats, if you didn't see it, 27 congressmen came out, congresswomen, including Nancy Pelosi. They want to put more emphasis on gun control. And so they had a little powwow and a presentation to the press. And they're going to, the hypocrisy, though, Jenny, the hypocrisy of the Democrats is just as bad as anything in government. They're standing there with armed guards around them while they talk about gun violence and the need to control more guns in the population of the United States. That's the ultimate in hypocrisy. And having somebody like Nancy Pelosi, who has armed guards with her whenever she's out, probably even when she's at home, telling us that we can't have guns and making more rules. Here's an issue. We don't need more rules when you don't take care of the rules you've already got. There's a list of 2 million people in this country who tried to get through the NICS test and failed because they had criminal backgrounds. None of those people have been prosecuted. Now, think for a minute. Of that 2 million people, how many of those people immediately go out and try and do a private gun sale because they know they couldn't buy one legally? So they're going to go out and do it illegally and then possibly commit crimes with them. Enforce the laws you have before you try to push more onto us. All right, it's bottom of the hour. We'll see you on the other side.
People are are always on the move, driving to work, getting the groceries, hauling the kids to soccer. How do they keep up to date? They listen to Wham Talk 1600, just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham for intelligent conversation with hosts like Bill Bennett, Glenn Beck, and Theron X. They stay tuned in for Fox updates, and they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 and advertise your business on Wham Talk 1600.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. A historic leadership vacuum in Washington has Congressman Paul Ryan under pressure to consider a run for Speaker of the House.
Efforts to recruit the Wisconsin Republican have ramped up, including, Fox is told, personal pleas from top Republicans inside and outside the Capitol. A spokesman for Ryan insists he's still not a candidate for Speaker of the House, though sources say he will spend this weekend with family, at least considering it. Several others may too. Congress is in recess next week.
Fox Radio's Jared Halpern. An investigation underway after a five-year-old boy in Florida was left on a bus alone for 5 hours. Authorities say the bus driver and employees at a preschool and childcare facility could face neglect charges. Someone walking through the parking lot Friday afternoon spotted the child, called 911. He was returned to his parents in good condition. Fox News, we report. You decide.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, their study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective multiple-choice format. So whether you're a roofer, heavy construction, residential contractor, or other related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit www.ContractorExam.com today.
Experience traditional Mexican food at Taqueria La Fiesta at home or at work. We serve traditional Mexican food, not Mexican-American and not Mexican-Californian. Our food is great because our authenticity makes a difference. We offer local deliveries within a 5-mile radius, so give us a call.
Taqueria La Fiesta, 4060 Packard Road in Ann Arbor, 734-477-9240, 734-477-9240. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 9.
Experience traditional Mexican food and taste a difference at Taqueria La Fiesta.
Don't miss London Calling with your host, Dan Martin.
I'll play the best of the original British invasion and beyond.
Everybody go dance around tonight.
Hi, I'm Dan Martin.
He said he had some songs to play.
There's one life and there's no return and no deposit.
London Calling, Saturday night at 10.
On Wham.
No matter where you are across the globe, you can listen to Wham Talk 1600. In Southeast Michigan, keep us locked on your AM radio. But everywhere else, there's whamradio.com. All you need is a smartphone or computer. Just go to waamradio.com and click on the Listen Live link. See the latest updates to whamradio.com and be sure to listen to all your favorite shows live. From Detroit to Grand Rapids, Monroe to Mackinac, wherever you may be, Wham Radio is there, online and streaming live.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And thank you for catching the Drift this wonderful, beautiful Saturday afternoon here in Michigan. Sponsor this half hour will be Regal Auto Parts. www.regalautopartsmi.com. If you've got a used car or you got a new car and you need a part for it, you don't have to go buy brand new. You can get some parts that are recently new. They came off of cars, and you can get them at Regal Auto Parts in Whitmore Lake, 734-663-0976. They also buy scrap cars, so if you've got that old car hanging around, it's a good place to take it. Or if you need to work with your insurance company, go to Regal Auto Parts in Whitmore Lake, 734-663-0976. Conveniently located on an old Whitmore Lake Road, right there in Whitmore Lake. So check it out. If you need to get some car repairs or engine repairs done in your car, go to Regal Auto Parts first. Okay, so the other news this week that I found to be pretty disturbing was talking about some Syrian rebels. Okay, now we've all heard this program. Derek, we want to run that first, that second track there. You got that one ready? Okay, let's go.
As of July 3rd, we are currently training about 60 fighters. This number is much smaller than we'd hoped for at this point.
Pentagon officials announced an end to a failed program to train and equip Syrian rebels, with a new, far less ambitious program taking its place. According to senior defense officials, the program managed to field only 4 or 5 Syrian rebels into the battle against ISIS in Syria at a cost of about $50 million, with many of the weapons and vehicles provided to the first group of Syrian rebels quickly falling into the hands of enemy forces, such as the al-Qaeda-backed al-Nusra Front.
Okay, so it was a $500 million program that Barack Obama, in his wisdom, and he and his staff, and it's probably Valerie Jarrett, of course, the Iranian sympathizer who was born in Iran, who happens to be his right-hand confidant, and, well, I've got other words for her. But anyways, the United States tried to train 50 or 60 of these rebels. Now, 50 or 60, come on, we're talking about 30,000 ISIS fighters in Iraq and Syria, and you're training 50 or 60 rebels. And this is what you call a program, a response to ISIS? Are you freaking kidding me? That works out to be, and 50 out of that 50 or 60, I think they're down to 4 or 5 now, because the rest either ran away or were killed. And as you heard in the report, they gave away the equipment that we... You know, ISIS is running around with some of the best equipment you can possibly imagine, and it's all because of us. It's crazy. Let's take a quick call from Tom in Allen Park. Tom, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Just want to make a comment about the EPA discussion with the wetlands and whatnot.
Yeah.
It's kind of enticing to listen to comments about how the federal government's being involved, which is their hand in it being the EPA. They only do, as a whole, what the law allows them to do. And our local representatives in from our own districts throughout the country end up putting these laws in place or restricting some of them. So the power that they actually have at the EPA is really given to them by our representatives that we send. So maybe we can look at talking to them instead of the EPA and blaming them for the good or the bad things without causing too much disruption or confusion to the public.
Yeah, well, what you're saying, Tom, I guess, is it's actually our fault, because you're right. We're the ones that elected congressmen and senators who put way too much power into agencies like the EPA. You know, frankly, as far as I'm concerned, EPA is something that, you know, any environmental regulation should be held closer to the vest. That means here at the state or at the county level, you've got issues and you've got circumstances that need to be understood. And I don't think people in Washington understand that. And that includes our congressmen and our senators. You'll see Debbie Stabenow talking about water issues all the time. That's great and good and all. But you know what? We've got issues that shouldn't be held by EPA officials who come in from Washington because they don't understand what's going on. So I think you're right. We can't blame anybody but ourselves, because we're the ones that keep electing the same congressmen, the same senators who put power into federal agencies that have no idea what they're doing. Tom, you're there?
Amen.
Yeah. All right, Tom, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
No problem.
Well, look what the cat dragged in. Brandon Drake.
I managed to stumble in here.
Thanks for coming in, man.
Hey, good to see you.
That was a good surprise when the Drakester walks in. Yeah, I'm good, because you're here. You just heard the report about the rebels.
Yeah, I mean,
$500 million for 50 guys. Really? $10 million apiece?
You know, this kind of thing happens all the time. And I'm thinking all the way back to Desert Storm. Prior to that, look how the Kuwaitis, all the, you know, the weapons and money and everything we put into them, and they just basically turned and ran. I mean, as Saddam came rolling through there, I guess they really had no choice, but it's kind of it's a waste of time and money. Plus, I mean, an Arab army, are you kidding me?
Well, I'll tell you what.
Let me back. Okay, you know, and people probably think, oh, he's just being funny and all that. I'm dead serious. And the reason I say that, not only because of recent history, but I read Richard Marcinko's autobiography, Rogue Warrior, the founder of SEAL Team 6, the real deal, the real guy. And I know he's controversial and everything. But the guy is a warrior. There's no question about it. And I remember him talking about training. This is prior to, I think, him founding SEAL Team 6, creating it. Training with the Egyptian army. And he said that they were just the worst. And he had been in some other areas in the Arab world as far as their militaries go. And he's just like, he had no respect for them at all as far as their fighting ability and tenacity to stand up. So that's kind of where I'm coming from, too. And I think, too, that a lot of in the Middle East, Arabs, and they don't look at their country really so much as a nation as they do their, you know, their religion and their tribe and their clan. And the state is almost like the last thing on the list to be loyal to.
Yeah.
As far as a national army goes.
And that's part of the culture of Islam. They don't put it into the national. I mean, all those boundaries we've put in the Middle East anyways, they weren't put there by the Muslims themselves and the people that live there. It was put in by the colonial French and the colonial British way back. And that's half the problem. You know, when you've got tribal societies like that, you can't just draw a line across their borders and think you're going to make it something work. It's not. It's never going to work that way. Well, from the I told you so far, because I've been talking about this for 3 or 4 weeks now. Reports now that China is joining Russia in Syria, along with Iran and Bashar al-Assad's troops, to start smashing ISIS. And, you know, it's funny that we talk about spending $500 million to train 50 or 60 rebels, right, to attack Assad. They weren't even attacking ISIS. They were going after Assad. So not doing their job. And Barack Obama has been saying, we're going to hit ISIS with planes and whatnot. They've been running maybe 20 sorties a day from the U.S. Guess how many sorties the Russians are flying a day?
No idea.
212. You know, which is similar to what the United States did in the Balkans during the Balkan War. This is what's just crazy to me. You don't think ISIS is as bad as those guys that were in the Balkans? Back then they were murdering Muslims. Now they're murdering Christians. But we were flying over 200 sorties a day in the Balkans. So is Barack Obama actually not trying to do anything about ISIS? That's the question I'm asking. He's not serious about it because Russia's done more in one day than the United States has done in 10 days.
Yeah, it's a bizarre thing that's been happening over the past year or so.
It's incredible. It's an Alice in Wonderland world for me because I look at, you know what, Russia's on the side of Bashar al-Assad, and I said this all week long on the morning rant. Is he a great guy? No. He's a horrible dictator. But the devil you know is better than the devil you don't. Now we're helping all these ISIS and you can't vet any of these Syrians. You don't know who these rebel groups are.
Sure you can. You can vet them. We're letting them in Europe and eventually here by the millions. They're all vetted.
Exactly. Well,
not.
Well, you're going to love this next track, dude. This one's going to drive you. This is going to drive your blood pressure. I'm going to wait and see if you got that next track about Putin coming up. You're going to love this. I'm going to surprise you. I won't even tell you what it is. Go ahead and roll it.
President Barack Obama and Russian President Vladimir Putin have something in common in that they have both been nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. The group that put Putin's name forward for the award says he deserves it because he, quote, actively promotes the settlement of conflicts, especially referencing his talks with the U.S. over Syria. This year's winner will be announced coming up next week.
All right, so my first question is what talks?
Is that a clip from The Onion?
No.
Mad Magazine?
No. You would think, wouldn't you? It's just incredible that Vladimir Putin and why not? Hey, Barack Obama got the Nobel Peace Prize, and all he did was help start the Arab Spring and turn the Middle East into turmoil. How did he get the Nobel Peace Prize?
Yeah, he was barely in office, right? And he got the...
I will say, you know, frankly, I think Putin deserves it more. I think he's out to crush the violent child killers, the decapitators in that part of the world. He's working with the Iranians to do it and the Chinese to do it, which kind of boggles my mind.
This isn't the Nobel Peace Prize. Let's get real here. Isn't it essentially just a popularity contest by a bunch of dumbass Europeans?
Well,
isn't that essentially what it is?
The same Europeans who are letting all these beheaders just waltz into Europe. Yeah, it's crazy. I couldn't believe it. I saw it this morning. I'm like, oh, we got to play that. There's just no way that could. Well, maybe this will make it even better. There are also rumors.
I'm going to get the Peace Prize for poetry.
Are you?
I am.
Love, can you write me a love letter?
Roses are red.
I know where you're going with that one. How about John Kerry for Nobel Prize winner? Nobel Prize winners, John Kerry and Javad, what's his name? Zarif. Javad Mohammad Zarif.
Oh, the Iranian,
Iranian counterpart in their negotiations for the nuclear arms deal. Now, so giving Iran nuclear weapons and allowing them to self-inspect is worth the Nobel Peace Prize?
Ebony and ivory.
You know what? I guess the sooner we wipe the human beings off the planet, the sooner there'll be peace, right? Let's just give those Iranians some nukes. That's crazy. I don't know if I covered this before, too. There was something that I got from the Jarrett Junto, Junto, whatever you want to call it. Did you know that John Kerry's daughter, Vanessa Bradford Kerry, married an Iranian physician named Dr. Brian Vail Nahed? Okay? It gets better. Hold on.
So Nahed, it sounds like a sinister being on one of the James Bond movies.
Or Austin Powers, yeah. One or the other. According to the Conservative Post, guess who that Iranian physician's best man was at John Kerry's daughter's wedding? Mohammad Javad Zarif, his counterpart in the Iranian nuclear. Does that not seem a little too close for comfort?
A lot of man love going on there.
You know, something is never in American history, it says here, not even in the days when FDR's administration was riddled with communists and their sympathizers, has there been so much treason within our national government. I think that's a very accurate statement, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand how John Kerry and this Javad Zarif guy can be put in the same room and expect to get a good deal for the United States.
Yeah.
I wonder what the gift was to his daughter.
The American dream.
Yes.
Definitely in trouble.
All right. Well, speaking of vetting, so DHS has a big confession. As the White House prepares to dump another 10,000 Syrian refugees on U.S. cities, it assures us these mostly Muslim men will undergo a robust screening process. Not so, admits the agency
responsible. Turn your head and cough. That'll be the screen.
Not so much, admits the agency responsible for such vetting. Under grilling from GOP Senator Jeff Sessions, head of the Senate Subcommittee on Immigration, Homeland Security official in charge of vetting Syrian and other foreign Muslim refugees confessed that no police or intelligence databases exist to check the backgrounds of incoming refugees against criminal and terrorist records.
Yeah.
What the heck are we doing to ourselves?
Oh, I know.
Let's just bring in, why don't we just send airplanes over there, open the doors, and let whoever wants to come over here.
That's essentially what we're doing.
It's just crazy.
But we'll spend a lot of money going through the motion.
I
you know what I mean?
I guess.
That's what we'll do.
I feel like I'm spending money to bring beheaders over here. And you know what? I'm just going to make a room. I'm going to fix the bed up in the next room for them. While this may be a startling admission, it confirms previous reporting. Senior FBI officials recently testified that they have no idea who these people are, and they can't find out what type of backgrounds they have, criminal, terrorist, or otherwise, because there are no vetting opportunities in those war-torn countries. So you've got hundreds of thousands of refugees breaking across the borders of Eastern Europe,
just flocking in the swarm, hordes of people that you don't know who they are.
Yes.
You can't possibly know who they are.
This is what drove me crazy this week. You've got refugees. All right, I'm down with helping a refugee. Why wouldn't it be the women refugees or the children refugees coming and that we should be helping? What kind of a man leaves his wife and children behind in a war-torn country while he comes to Europe or America? Really? I find it hard to believe that all Muslim men in that part of the world are complete cowards and would leave their children and women behind. Maybe they are, but I don't think so. I mean, the conspiracy guy in me is saying, these are all young, able-bodied males. How about the old men? How about those old doddering men that are there? How come they're not refugees? Something's going on in Western Europe, and it's going to happen here under Barack Hussein Obama. We're getting the wrong type of refugee. I mean, it'd be nice to have the super educated, wealthy refugees, but we're not getting those either.
Or you go into a Christian village where they're under attack, and you bring them and you vet them as best you can.
Yes.
What's wrong with that?
Well, that's what
Isn't
Glenn...
that the true victim, the true refugee that's being annihilated by a Muslim force?
Yeah, and the federal government wasn't doing it. That's why Glenn Beck ended up going across the border. They flew people. He took money, got money, raised money up, flew people into Mexico and tried to walk them across the border and got in trouble for it. Really? So how about the... Yes, exactly. Save the Christians over there.
Yeah, I mean, there used to be at one point before they were slaughtered and had to go on the run. A lot of Christians in Syria.
You know, I can't help, and you people can call and
complain. Who, by the way, are aligned with Assad?
Yes.
And why? Because they have to out of pragmatic on the ground reality of they're a small minority, and so the Alawites, the Christians,
the Druze,
yep. Other Shiites, they're all bound together as a formal bloc against the Sunni majority.
Yeah, I mean, Bashar al-Assad is not the worst guy over there. So why are you trying to throw him out and back all these other Syrian rebels? You don't know who they are. I mean, we did the same thing in Libya. Barack Obama just touted Libya as a success the other day to the UN. Are you freaking kidding me?
Wow.
You killed a guy who was under our thumb. Gaddafi, after we killed his nephew or whatever, when Reagan did that, he behaved himself. He got out of the terrorist business just trying to maintain his own country. Was he beheading people? Probably in private. I'm sure he was breaking out the battery and torturing people left and right. But he wasn't wholesale beheading children, putting people in cages and setting them on fire, slitting the throats on video. And neither is Bashar al-Assad. So why in the heck are we not backing Bashar al-Assad? That's the guy. The Russians are backing the right guy.
Yeah, Gaddafi went from being kind of like a Idi Amin Stalin to a Sacha Baron Cohen. The dictator.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, he was manageable. And Bashar al-Assad was manageable. You know, I can't imagine what the Israelis are thinking, that they would rather have a bunch of crazy ISIS caliphates beheading people on their border than Syria.
Well, that's the thing, and I've brought this up before with people, is that if you're going to throw your lot in with Assad, I think the Israelis, they still consider Assad to be more of a security risk than ISIS. They look at ISIS as, well, they're in the infant stages still. And they're horrible, obviously. But Assad is a guy that wants to be a nuclear power. I mean, the Israelis blew up a nuclear power plant that Assad almost had online that he had bought from North Korea surreptitiously. And there's a great documentary on YouTube about that.
Yeah, yeah, great. Let's take a quick call from Jimmy, who's been waiting patiently. Jimmy, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I was going to talk about something else, but this is exactly right. You were not wrong at all. What has Assad done? What did Colonel Gaddafi do? What did Saddam Hussein do? Oh, I don't know. Brought stability to that area. Now, granted, they were ruthless dictators and bad.
And they had to be.
No.
Yeah. It takes a monster to control a monster. And frankly, I'm sorry to say that about that part of the world, but the culture over there is such that you need a strong monster to control the monsters that's within those people.
Yeah, I mean, when you take a cage of mongooses and cobras, you need a strong authoritarian figure to keep them separated and under control.
But look at the people that live there. They were relatively free. You could practice Christianity. You could practice Judaism.
That's
you could
right.
practice Islam. As long as you didn't step out of line. As soon as you stepped out of line, he stepped on you. And he didn't care who you were, he stepped on you. No matter who it was. Because he was trying to keep the peace. And that's what needs to happen in this country right now. It's not a game. These people are coming over here, and they want to change every aspect. They want to take away our free speech. They want to take away our everything that we believe in. And it's like, no, you're not going to do that. If you want to behead a bunch of people in the town square in Manchester, you're going to have, Mike and myself and a bunch of other people are going to come down there and say, no, you're not going to do this.
A refugee who comes here should come here because they love the country and they want to be part of the country and enjoy the country, not bring their values that aren't here. You don't see us worshiping Sharia law. We don't do that because, you know what, it's not the way we were founded. It's not the way we were raised. And if you can't buy into American society, and I'm just going to call it American society, then get the hell out. You don't belong here.
Well, you know, it makes perfect sense what ISIS is doing in Syria and Iraq as far as creating this environment of millions of refugees on the move, because ISIS, you know, they've come out and said, we are coming. We are coming to Western Europe. We are coming to America. And what better way to come to one of many avenues, but the best way is to embed yourself with real refugees. Because like you said, we can't vet them. We can't differentiate between who is a person that just wants to come here and enjoy this country and who wants to come here and create havoc.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Right. And refugees are one thing. You want to come in here and be a refugee and then eventually go back to your own country, that's fine.
And that never happens.
That.
Yeah.
That rarely ever happens.
Yeah, once they get here, they never want to leave. Who would?
Yeah, I mean, Germany, they should know better. In the 60s, they brought all those Turkish workers in. There was a labor shortage in Germany. They brought in all these Turkish workers with the idea that they would eventually go back home. They never left.
No, and they won't leave here either.
Right.
And they have kids like there's no tomorrow. I mean, there's 10, 12 kids in a family.
All right, Jimmy, anything else?
Well, I mean, that's what you have to really look at. And there are many things that we have to look at. One of them is, you know, the shooter. You know, what about the drugs he was on? You know, and nobody talks about suing the drug companies. They want to sue Colt or Glock or somebody like that made the gun. What about the company that made the drugs that he was on?
Well, hey, right. Somebody should sue the drug cartels. Maybe that'll put them out of business. Yeah, that ain't going to happen either.
They're not drug cartels. They're corporations that are making drugs, and they're all in with. It's a bunch of corporate fascist nonsense that's going on. We live in a fascist country. Just realize that.
Yeah, well, it's certainly becoming more. It's certainly becoming more and more that way all the time. Well, great
okay,
call, Jimmy.
Alex
appreciate
Jones.
It. Thanks for the call. We'll see you next week.
Take care.
Okay, so well, let's talk gun control real quick. There was a couple items I wanted to get to, but we don't have time. Hillary Clinton has already made her bed and lying in it now because she's saying
that's a scary sight.
Hillary Clinton, she is going to try and use executive power like Obama's probably going to do. I think you're going to see him make his move on gun control here pretty quickly with some executive orders. And Hillary Clinton is saying that if she is elected, she will do the same thing with gun control. Now, every time Barack Obama opens his mouth, there's another 500,000 guns just get sold.
Yeah. Isn't that the truth? Maybe Barack Obama is an agent provocateur for the NRA.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Or for the gun lobby. There you go.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
He's
the
selling NRA. For Smith. He's probably trying to get Smith & Wesson to donate to his post-presidential nonprofit. That's what
his library.
Yes, exactly. All right. Until next week, go to thedailydrift.com and stay informed. It's the news you need to know. See you next week.
See you.